Greetings and welcome to the IOMSN Town Hall Discussions, Aging with Multiple Sclerosis. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Ms. Lori Mayer. Thank you, Lori. You may begin.
Thank you, Manny. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the IOMSN and as co-chair for this program, I'd like to welcome you to Town Hall Discussion tonight. Tonight's program is entitled Aging with Multiple Sclerosis. These educational sessions are held by telephone on the second Wednesday of each month, and each discussion will be led by an IOMSN member speaking on a selected topic for about 15 minutes, which then will be followed by an open discussion limited to 1 hour. We would like to acknowledge and show our appreciation to Novartis for supporting this project through an unrestricted education grant. So, we begin tonight our 2012 Town Hall Discussion for June this evening with Dr. Mary Jean Busey. Please join me in welcoming her for this evening's meeting. She is a clinical professor in the School of Nursing at Stony Brook University. She has a clinical private practice in MS on Long Island and has been involved in MS patient care as a nurse practitioner for more than 14 years. She is heavily involved in research on the caregiver burden and aging in MS, and is widely published. Please join me in welcoming her. Mary Jean, I'm turning the meeting over to you.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you all who have come to listen to my little project here. Today I wanted to talk about how people age with multiple sclerosis. And I think this is an important factor because everybody's aging. And at one point in time, we used to think that MS patients had a shorter lifespan. What we've found is that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, about 90% of people with MS today who are in their 20s can expect to live at least until their 70s or mid-70s. So generally, their lifespan is the same. So what does this mean? This means that they'll live with MS for about 50 years. That's a long time. So when your MS patient is diagnosed at 21, 22, 32, they may have at least 50 years of MS to live with. As of 2004, there were estimates that about 9% of MS patients were over the age of 65. However, as people got older, that number has grown, and it may be closer to 25%. And when we talk about MS, we're talking about MS as a chronic disease. And in much of the literature, people with chronic diseases tend to age earlier. Things happen to them earlier because of the chronic disease that they're living with. So when we talk about over the age of 65 as being elderly, perhaps in MS we should think about maybe 60 or 55, which puts our patients over aging with MS. It gives us so many other patients to think about. So in normal aging, as people get older in their 60s, actually in their 40s, probably 40, 45, they have changed their vision. And all of a sudden, one day, everybody wakes up and says, oh, my gosh, I can't see, I can't read, I need my glasses. And that happens normally. But as people get older in their 60s and 65 and 70s, they have decreased vision. They also have increased cognitive issues. For instance, we think that patients may not be able to learn as well as they get older. I'm not patients, just regular people with MS, I'm sorry. But really, they just learn at a slower learning rate, and they have less short-term memory. And this is very normal as people age. They also have reduced energy. People who are getting older don't seem to have as much energy as younger people. It's very normal. There are increased bladder problems, especially for women. The bladder tone kind of relaxes as people get older, and they may need to use some medications. As you know, the television always says women have bladder problems and need to use Vesicare or something. So also people, as they age, have a slowed GI system, and many people as they age, have some constipation issues. It's not abnormal. And lastly, they're most likely to have some comorbidities. For instance, most people over the age of 60 will have hypertension and high cholesterol. It's just our society. It's how things happen. And as you age, you will definitely get high blood pressure simply because the arteries get they're less elastic. So people normal aging have comorbidities. Also, with normal aging, the person may have fewer friends. Their significant others may not live with them anymore. They may pass away. They may have to deal with the death of a spouse, friends, death of friends, and even the death of a child. These are changes in psychosocial issues that they were not used to having when they were younger. They also may have limited finances and may have limited insurance. Medicare and Medicare Part D, I'm sure you all know, that is kind of difficult for people to deal with, and oftentimes with changes, they may not have the money that they need for medications. And that is all our aging population. It's very consistent across the board without MS. Now, older people with MS, they have other challenges and increased challenges. Most of them will have limited mobility. And across the board, when we're looking at older people with MS, their EDSs are usually around 6. They may be more, they may be less, but the mean is around 6. So that means they have some limited mobility. Many of them will have cognitive impairment and may need assistance from a caregiver. And that caregiver can be a spouse, it can be a child, it can be a friend. On top of that, most of them are going to have the same changes in aging and psychosocial issues that I discussed a few minutes ago. So if you add that to limited mobility and some cognitive impairment that may need assistance from a caregiver, you'll find that depression is not uncommon in older patients with MS. And as I said before, cognitive impairment is not uncommon. These are issues that our MS patients, as they age, have to deal with. So how do we help our patients to stay healthy? What's the best thing we can do to encourage healthy aging with MS? Well, recently there was a study, actually came out in the spring of 2012, by Michelle Plowman et al., and she looked at over 2,000 aging patients in Canada with MS. And she did a qualitative study, and she found that there are certain foundational factors that will impact our patients to age healthily. For instance, people who age well with MS are resilient. And what does resilience mean? Resilient means that they can get up and go. After they've suffered a blow, things have occurred in their lives, stressors have occurred, but they have some kind of hope, they have some kind of joy, some kind of optimism, and they can get up and keep on going. So healthy aging with MS includes resilience. It also includes mental and cognitive health. Now, we talked about that a lot of our patients can have depression, and they may have cognitive issues. So this is something very important that we should work on, keeping our patients mentally and cognitively as healthy as we can. In order to age healthy, she found patients should have some financial flexibility. And that's all well and good unless you don't have it. And that is one of the things that we can encourage, and I'll talk about later on, encourage our younger patients to think about how to make sure you have some financial flexibility. And lastly, the last foundation of healthy aging will be social support. How important it is to have friends, family, people around you who you can depend on to support you, that you can talk to. Other factors that build on these foundational factors include work and social engagement. I did a study on older patients with MS, and I found the one thing that increases their quality of life is that they're still employed. And so that gives meaning to people's lives. Employment, if they can stay employed, gives meaning. So work, and not only does that, it also engages you socially. So if we can support that would be great. So a critical factor would be work and social engagement, effective and accessible health care. Now, we hope that we're giving our patients effective health care, but sometimes in our country, it's not as accessible as we'd like it to be. So that's another factor that's critical for healthy aging. Healthy lifestyle habits. Now, as a nurse practitioner, I talk to my patients all the time about healthy lifestyle habits, and we know how smoking may cause problems with MS, and we've heard all these things. So we must engage our patients into thinking about healthy lifestyle habits. And lastly, this is critical for any aging person, but especially an aging person with MS, is the ability to stay at home, even though they may not be as independent as they want. Maintaining some independence at home is critical for healthy aging with multiple sclerosis. So when we talk about our patients with mobility issues, I'd like to just stress a few points. And the first point is encourage your patient or my patient or any of these patients to do any kind of exercise. Many of them will have mobility problems. So most often that is in their legs. Perhaps they can do arm strengthening. Perhaps they can do yoga, swimming, stretching. A lot of our MS society offers classes in yoga and in swimming and stretching. And these are very important because not only exercise is good as a healthy thing, it also helps the patient feel better. And as we've all talked about and we've known for years, what's the biggest answer for fatigue? Exercise. It sounds like an oxymoron, but in MS it does work. So I would like to encourage you to encourage your patients to do any kind of exercise. If they can walk a little bit around the block, if they can just use their arms and do upper extremity strengthening, that would be great. And encourage, so important to encourage the use of assistive devices if they need them. Many of my patients have said, oh, I don't use the cane or the walker in the house because I don't need it. However, as patients age, 1 out of 3 over the age of 65 will have a devastating fall every year. And over the age of 80, it's 1 out of 2 every year will have a devastating fall. And these falls can have huge impacts on their quality of life and on their life in general. When we talk about cognitive impairment, it's been shown to decrease quality of life. The more impaired the patient is, the less quality of life they may have. It's also been shown to increase the need for caregiver assistance. So with more cognitive impairment, patients will need more help. And in the study that I did, I found that those people who were more cognitively impaired had caregivers. They needed somebody to help them. So talk with a patient about the changes in cognition. You may hear, as I heard yesterday from a patient, that, well, you know, it's my age, I know I'm getting older, but you know what, with MS, not all of it's age-related. And if we compare our patients against a normal, healthy person without MS at the same age, we will find that our patients are more cognitively impaired. Include the caregiver in these conversations because they're the ones dealing with this at home, and they need to know what they can do. The biggest thing caregivers need is information. What can I do? How can I encourage cognition? Discuss reminder tactics that can be useful. We always talked about Sudoku. I think it's Sudoku or Sudoku. That word game that patients can play, that keeps the mind going. So any kind of reminder tactics or anything that can be useful, go over that with the patient and go over that with the caregiver. For depression comes anxiety. Anytime someone is depressed, almost all the time there's some level of anxiety associated with it. And this is not uncommon in elderly people in general, and it's more common in older MS patients. Don't be afraid to treat patients for depression or anxiety, but be aware of all the medications that they're on. Oftentimes the patient thinks, oh, I'm just seeing the nurse practitioner or the nurse, and it's the neurology practice. I don't have to tell them what's going on the other side, but you need to know all their medications, including over-the-counter medications, because they may be self-treating with St. John's wort or something else like that that they think may help their depression. And because as they age, they have decreased renal function, their kidney function is decreasing, they have slowing down of the GI system, medications that you may order can have a different impact. So the adage is, when prescribing, start low, go slow. Elderly patients may need less medication than a younger patient. For socialization, many patients with MS live alone. And as we know, since MS affects mostly women, two-thirds, and these are women who live alone, so decreased socialization can lead to depression. So we've done numerous studies, and we found that socialization is key to maintaining quality of life. If the patient can't get out of the house, connect via the telephone or a computer to support groups, MS chat rooms. Encourage them to do something. I have had so many patients who have said to me, my visit to you is the only time I ever get out of the house. And that is really discouraging for the caregiver and for the patient. Even if the patient can go outside for a little while, if they have a handicapped accessible house and can wheel themselves outside, wave to a neighbor, anything, encourage them to try to get out as much as they can. And if the patient is still employed, encourage them to stay employed, because employment increases quality of life. Financial issues, you should encourage the patient, you should, as a healthcare provider, speak with the local chapter of the National MS Society to see what kind of counseling they have for financial issues. If you can contact the MSAA to see what they offer patients, they oftentimes offer patients things like cooling vests and stuff that they may need and may not be able to buy. Insurance, as we said, can be a huge problem. If you order a new medication, try to make it the most cost-effective medication, the most effective medication, but at the least cost. As we know, and as I've found in different studies, it doesn't matter how old you are. You may still be on Avonex, or you may still be on Tysabri, or you may be on Gilenya. A lot of people are on these drugs that cost a fortune. And so for them, they may not have the money to get a very expensive drug that they may need for walking, like Ampira. They may need, you know, something like that. They may not be able to afford that. Look at the generic drug programs for Walmart, for CVS, or any kind of place close by to you. Now, recently I ordered Lexapro, and a patient called me back, and she said to me, for 90 days, that was costing her $90. And I never realized how expensive that could be. So now I know I need to order the most effective drug at the least cost and use generics as much as possible. And also, as we know, there are patient assistance programs through drug companies. I think that's very important also. One of the things that we did in our area here is we had a elder care lawyer come and speak at a patient education meeting, and that was so vital. It was so important because patients heard things without paying a lawyer. And they could ask individual questions and ask, what do I need to do about this? Should I start thinking about my life? When should I start worrying about my finances for in the future? I had a 25-year-old stand up and say, I'm 25 years old. Should I start worrying about my future now because I have MS? And the lawyer was extraordinarily compassionate and said, no, not right now, but let's talk in a few years. And I think everybody needs to know that. That's vital. Healthy lifestyle habits, assist the patient to stay healthy. Assist them to maintain health through regular checkups. And these checkups should include dental checkups, because as funny and as odd as it seems, if you have an inflammation in your mouth, you probably have inflammation other places, and they've been actually linked. The mouth and the heart have been linked. So good dental care may yield good heart care too. GYN, it's very hard for women to get gynecological services in our area. I've only found a few places that have the ability to have women to have GYN services, especially if they have spasticity. So if you can find a place in your area that will and talk to them, perhaps they'll take your patients. I think that's very important. Discussing food habits and diet, so important. Most elderly people, no matter if they have MS or don't have MS, they have high cholesterol and hypertension. In my study of 220 elderly people, almost all of them had high cholesterol and hypertension. Almost all of them were on those medications. And they feel okay about it because they're like, well, so are all my friends. And that's the way it is in our country. So food habits and diet are very important. If they can maintain a healthy weight and they can eat healthy food, that will make them feel better, and that will add to their quality of life. So in summary, many patients with multiple sclerosis will live a normal lifespan. As they age, their needs are going to increase. And living with MS doesn't mean that they cannot live well. If we encourage our patients to have a healthy lifestyle, if we think about the foundational factors that we talked about before, our patients can live well with MS, and that's what we want for them. What I found interesting is as patients age, they're less concerned about what occurs in like, oh my gosh, I have MS, what am I supposed to do? That happens when they're young. As they age, they say, I have MS. My friend had cancer. My friend over here had a heart attack. We all have something. And they learn to adapt, and they learn to live better. And as healthcare providers, we should promote that, promote adaptation, promote living better in our elders with MS. And I think that's it.
Oh, thank you, Mary Jean. That was excellent. So,
oh, thanks, Lori.
So you did a great job putting in perspective that MS patients are just as susceptible to any other diseases of aging, you know, as any of us are, stroke, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and how all these comorbidities do need to be evaluated, and how we need to look to our multidisciplinary team, I think, in helping us manage, you know, these different comorbidities the patients may have. But I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned that the life expectancy, of course, has increased. Okay. And now people are living with MS longer, over 50 years or whatever. Do you think that a lot of that has to do with the introduction of the disease-modifying agents?
Well, that's
you think it's a significant factor?
I think it probably is a significant factor. Well, first of all, they've only been around, well, now 20 years. But a lot of people were 30 when they came out, or 35. Mm-hmm. Now they're 55, and they've been on something for about 20 years. That means a lot. And when I went into looking at patients who are over the age of 60 with MS, and I was recruiting patients, I actually thought I would find everybody in a wheelchair because I thought, oh, my gosh, these patients have had MS for so long, they'll probably all be in a wheelchair. I didn't find that. In my study, the EDSS was 5.6. That was the mean. I'm not saying that I didn't have some with an EDSS of 8, but I had many with an EDSS of 3.
How much research do we have on MS and aging?
We have some. There are different groups looking at it. As I, what's her name, Marcia Finlayson, she did a lot of research, a lot of qualitative studies and some quantitative studies in the past 5 years. So it's increasing because it's not just when you're newly diagnosed or when you're young. Now you have to live it. Now we have to treat patients who are living with it for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And do we put a 60-year-old on a platform therapy? Do we put a 70-year-old on something? You know, patients, just because they're 60 doesn't mean to them that they're going to die. They want to be as not disabled as everybody else.
Well, those are all good questions. So let's go ahead, Manny. Let's open it up to questions to our participating audience and see if anybody can add some information or they have a question.